95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Well, I always love to talk to Stats on Fire. Gold Standard Podcast Network, of course. And he'll keep it real. He keeps it a buck. So let's keep it a buck tonight, Rob. How you feeling about this game for the 49ers? Must win? Big game? What's going to happen? How you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. I'm doing better than the 49ers, and I'd certainly be doing a lot better if they could beat the friggin' Seahawks tonight. They have to win. This is 100% a must win.
Hey, are they going to win? So what is the biggest factor for you? Let's start with that. Defense, offense, defensive line, linebackers. Who's the most important player for you tonight on that football field?
Brock Purdy, the quarterback. I know we've been living in this alternate world with the 49ers the last few years where the quarterback isn't the most important person. He is now. They're not the same talented team that they were. There is no gap between them and everybody else in the NFC. In fact, they're probably trailing some people. And when that's the case, you can still win that way, but your quarterback has to be better. And the 49ers have 8 giveaways in 5 games. That is tied for the second most in the entire league, and most of that is the fault of number 13.
Fault. Oh, wow. Okay, well, I don't think he played great the last couple of weeks, although the L.A. game, I thought he was excellent at times. I'm looking at this. I'm like, how do you spread out the love here? You obviously want to get to the magical 35, 37 rushes that they're always going for. But 12 Ayuk targets is the most in this last game of any game without Deebo Samuel missing the game, meaning both guys played and they targeted Ayuk that many times. Do you want to see it more balanced, or do you want to continue to ride the Ayuk hot hand here?
I'm all done with Deebo Samuel. I'm all set with number one. I'm sorry. There's too many games where he just disappears. Brandon Ayuk is the future of this offense from a passing standpoint. You have to feature him. I'm sorry. He is so clearly the best wide receiver that the 49ers have. Deebo Samuel, you know, he catches like one screen a game. Maybe it breaks for a big play. Maybe it doesn't. Half the time after that, he's dogging it out there on the field, jogging around the field like he's a part-time player. No, wow. Brandon Ayuk is the guy I want to see featured going forward.
You're really down on Deebo, huh?
What reason would I have to be up on him that doesn't start with the year 2021?
Ooh. Well, I mean, I thought the playoffs against Seattle, he dominated them. I mean, he ended Philadelphia's season last year, for crying out loud. Like, he's had a lot of moments.
And then he's had a lot of games where he's a ghost. You can't find him. You don't even know if he played in the game. And that's when he's healthy enough to actually be out on the field. I'm sorry. If it wasn't for 2021, we'd be looking at Deebo Samuel, and we would not think that he is this wrecking ball out there. Most of the time, he's just a guy.
Rob, we're going to have to revisit that conversation.
But
Rob's right. I mean, look, he had the best training camp of his career, according to the sources, according to the beat writers. And he did look like he was in phenomenal shape. But when it comes to beating man coverage, we know who the real man beater is on this team. We know who the number one receiver is. And it is number 11, Brandon Ayuk. Let's just admit it. I know Juwan Jennings had some big games or whatnot. If this team didn't re-sign Brandon Ayuk, the Niners would be in a lot more trouble than they are right now. That's a fact. So we're going to have to revisit a conversation later in the year, because we had that on this show. Is Deebo Samuel an all-time Niner? It's a big year for Deebo to determine that conversation. Rob was on the fence saying that, no, he's not an all-time Niner. We believed he was. We got to let the season play out. That could change everything here. But what about defensively? I called out Nick Bosa earlier in the week, and everybody on Instagram wanted to take my head and rip my head off and wanted me to get fired for calling out Nick Bosa. But we asked a question. When's the last time Nick Bosa was very impactful in a win? And we had to go back to Thanksgiving against Seattle last season. Where's Nick Bosa number 97 out? Because he called out Wilkes last year, and everybody was good with it. He called out Sorensen again this week, and Sorensen and Shanahan puts back a Bosa. Was like, hold on, wait a minute here. I'm calling out Bosa because you're the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. You're not playing well against the run, and I don't care what the grades are. I need production. I need domination. I need you to be the best pass rusher in the league that you're paid to be. So what's your thoughts on Nick Bosa so far this season?
Well, I thought last week was one of the few times where he made a game-changing play, right? That interception that he made, that should have bailed the 49ers out. Now, it's not his fault it didn't ultimately do that. But you're right. There have been far too few game-changing plays from Nick Bosa. He does not impact the game the same way that T.J. Watt does for the Steelers, or the same way that Myles Garrett does for the Cleveland Browns. Bosa is very, very good, but he is not at that elite level, even though he is paid like someone at that elite level.
I'm looking at the run game here. Bonte and I have been going over this all week. I just did all the notes here. Since week 15, okay, of last year, Arizona runs for 234. Ravens, 102, 62. I'm throwing week 18 out. Nobody played. 136 against the Packers in the playoffs. 182 the Lions ran for them against them in the playoffs. 130 in the Super Bowl. 68, 146, 98, 73, and 169 this year. They've given up 127 yards per game since that win in Arizona last year at the end of the year. How do they get the run game stuffed on defense? This feels like a huge problem that we don't talk enough about.
They can't. They need better players. That's the simple reality of it, and they don't have them right now. They're giving up almost 5 yards per carry this year. That's 21st in the league, and opponents have a success rate of 55%. So the majority of the time when the other team runs the ball, it works against the 49ers. I don't know what they can do. You can put more guys at the line of scrimmage, okay. Then you're hoping that Mooney Ward and D'Amador Lenore and those guys can make up for it. But it's a real problem area for the 49ers because anytime somebody needs it, they can get it. They can keep the ball on the ground. And that's also part of the reason why the Niners haven't forced that many turnovers this year.
Talking to Rob Stats Guerrero here on the River Islands Guest Line Gold Standard Podcast Network. Check it out, man. He covers the Niners, breaks all the numbers down. He's passionate about them as well. It's a good listen. Rob, there's a lot of talk about Shanahan. And look, I've had my beefs with Shanahan, play calling, situational football or whatnot. But players got to play and players have to make plays. But I've heard a lot of rhetoric this week, like maybe it's time to move into a new direction. Maybe Shanahan is not the guy. Maybe he's just stale. Where do you fall in line here as they start 2-3? Is it more on Shanahan and his play calling or whatnot? Or is it simply on players not executing when they need to execute, like Ronnie Bell catching the pass in L.A., like Jordan Mason fumbling? Where do you stand here with the Shanahan rhetoric?
Well, you don't get to 2-3 without everybody being to blame, first of all. Some blame goes on the players and some goes on Shanahan. But if I have to pick the biggest piece of blame pie, it's got to be the players. It has to be the players. Kyle Shanahan didn't make Jordan Mason fumble in the red zone last week. That's not on Kyle Shanahan. What do we say about Shanahan? Run the ball, run the ball. Well, he gets down to the red zone. The first play he runs is a run to Jordan Mason behind All-Pro Trent Williams, All-Pro George Kittle, and All-Pro Kyle Juszczyk. And all three of them got absolutely molly-whipped down there on that play where Jordan Mason fumbled the football. That's not on Kyle Shanahan. Again, I'm not saying Shanahan is blameless, but to me, the biggest piece of blame pie goes to the players on the field. They never have their T's crossed and their I's dotted.
Man, it's tough to argue with that. I'm looking at their red zone efficiency You're talking about running the ball down in the red zone. Like, they're very predictable on first down in terms of running it. Like, situationally, it drives me nuts. And they don't go matchups. I'd like to see some rub routes, bunch formations, guys in motion, and actually running a route, not just setting up to block. Who's the guy you would like to see them target in the red zone? Because I'm thinking of somebody that, you know, he's dominating that game. Ayuk never gets targeted in the red zone. They've thrown to Kittle 8, I believe, of the 18 plays that they had in the red zone, and 4 went to Jennings last week. Who's the guy you would target in the red zone to kind of get their efficiency numbers up?
The open guy. I don't care who it is. The problem is nobody ever seems open along the red zone. The one touchdown to Kittle they had last week was beautiful.
Underneath,
he got just open very, very quickly. They threw a screen pass to him in the red zone a couple weeks ago. I love that. But other than that, I can't really think of a time where in the red zone somebody has got open. I don't know if that's because they're doubling Ayuk or Debo just can't get open against man coverage, but it's been way too hard in the red zone in the passing game. And in the ground game, like, they can't do it at all in the red zone. They have run 28 plays in that part of the field that have gained zero or negative yardage. 28 plays. That's the most in the league. All of last season, they had 43 of those plays. So they're more than halfway to that number already, and they've only played 5 games.
Wow, wow, wow. What about the safety position? Because I think that's something, for me, Hufanga was not good this season so far. He was not good coming back from the ACL injury. He was not good to the point where I don't know what his long-term future is with the 49ers. It wouldn't surprise me if he never played a game with the 49ers again. That's how bad he played. And I hate saying that because he's a nice guy. But Malik Mustafa, Tig Brown, and we may even see George Odom today. But the safety position could be the problem because teams are taking deep shots on them, Rob. And that concerns me tonight. DK, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Tyler Lockett, getting over the top. I've never been this concerned with the safety position in a long time, Rob.
I thought the secondary going into this season was the best secondary Kyle Shanahan has ever had with the 49ers. And holy hell was I wrong about that. I mean, we're back to the bad old days of balls in the air. Let me just hug the wide receiver because I can't stop him from catching it. That's where we are. It's been really, really bad for the Niners. And the safety position is scary. You're right. Guys are out of position. But here's the other scary part for me. And we see this a lot with Tig Brown and some of the other players in this secondary. They're always confused. I thought we were supposed to be getting back to the 49er defense, right? The defense that they've been playing that everybody knows. Yet why are they always confused every time the other team bunches up the wide receivers on one part of the field? They never know who's who in the zoo, and they always have two guys covering one dude and no guys covering another player who's wide open for the first down. It's happened multiple times this year, and I don't understand why.
Well, what that is, I mean, the passing concepts that they're going up against are more advanced than the ones that we run. They run a lot of mesh. They run a lot of rub routes and misdirection, and they try to bunch people up, and when they're in zone or whatever, they want to have miscommunications. It's a variety of things, a lot of drag routes. What do you hate more? The current Seahawks, because they were a big rival for a lot of Niner fans, or the Amazon broadcast as a whole?
Oh, man, that is
Al Michaels is done. I've been on this for like 5 years. He's been done.
Oh, my. Amen to that.
He's been done.
Does he ever get excited about anything? All he cares about is that there's no penalties and no replay reviews so he could get out of there as fast as possible. Hey. No, thank you. Al Michaels makes the game less interesting and less exciting for me as a fan. I totally agree.
Told you.
He's a legend in the Hall of Famer. I didn't say he wasn't logging a tooth.
So is Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers is cooked.
I didn't say he was logging a tooth, but don't be mad at Al Michaels. Get mad at Amazon for hiring Al Michaels, all right? We knew he was, you know, and I'm not going to disrespect it because he was a broadcast partner at NBC and he did a lot of great things for Sunday Night Football. It gave Sunday Night Football that credibility. However, don't be mad at him. Don't be mad at Amazon. They gave him the check. Hell, Rob, if they asked you to do play-by-play, you would be ready to do play-by-play. But guess what? You're going to take that check, right?
Bro, you've been taking checks for 50 years. Go enjoy your great-grandkids.
No, keep taking the checks.
We're taking away the guy's keys.
This is how the rich stay rich. Come on, Charles Schwab Shasky. You know this.
Bro.
Keep the checks coming, Rob.
If he's worried about money, he's got deeper issues. He's been filthy rich forever.
If they're going to keep throwing money at you, you're going to take it. That's the American way, right?
I mean, look, I would take the check, too. I'm not going to lie. But I would also understand people that say, you're not any good at this job right now.
Rob,
this is where the family needs to step in and say, hey, great-grandpa Al, I want you home.
No. They're saying, great-grandpa Al, we need the private jet to go to college. That's what they're saying. So Grandpa Al saying, you know what, let me go broadcast these Thursday night games.
Okay, Rob, one second. I take my grandpa out and introduce my son to him as great-grandpa, and we go out, and I pay for dinner. That's how it works. Yeah. The younger generations are supposed to take out. See, this is what's wrong with society. You're supposed to say, hey, grandpa, it's on us this time. You don't always pay for everything. I know you want to, but it's on us. That's on our family.
What's going on here?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here.
I'm telling you how family's supposed to work.
Oh.
Right, Rob? You agree with me?
Not when grandpa is Al Michaels and he's got enough money to buy his own restaurant.
Right. Come on, man. We're using Grandpa's black card today, man. And that's Uncle Al. We'll get through the broadcast. If you don't like it, just turn the volume down and go to the radio broadcast. It's all good. Rob Stats-Guerrero, you're always good to us. Always love having you on, man. Keep up the great work over there at the Gold Standard Podcast Network.
Thanks, everybody. Just search Gold Standard 49ers on YouTube. You'll see everything we got going on.
And they got a lot going on right now. Boy, hey, Rob, real quick. The Niners don't win this game. Does business boom for you after losses? Oh, he's gone. Oh, man. Just say, we'll talk. I'll tweet him or something. I'll text him. Because I'm sure business is going to boom if the Niners lose.